Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
Just trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're trying to figure out what happened. Sometimes the unexplained is inexplicably not explained. And it's hard to take that as a reason. I am refusing to use the whole curse thing because I think, again, it's a cop-out, and it allows people to say, well, yeah, that's the reason why. As we discuss our Braves today, and we'll get into some Falcons conversation, they're getting ready for another game on Sunday, and you know, who knows where this Falcon team goes, Mike? What team shows up? Maybe they blow doors against Arizona on Sunday, and all of a sudden now you're feeling better about them on Monday. We'll have to wait and see. But we were just having this conversation, and, you know, if there was truly a curse, none of our teams will have won anything. And that's not true. We know that the Braves, I get it, they didn't win enough,
right?
But we won a World Series. We know that Atlanta United just got here, and we've won a championship, and we may win another one this year.
Right, and, you know, Georgia won a championship, granted, many, many years ago. Georgia Tech won one back in 90. You know, co-national champs, but they've done it. And we've seen things happen in this town. Like, you know, it's just funny. I think it's not about a curse. To me, the problem I have is we're soft. We're soft in this town, man. We were soft about the Tomahawks before the game started. We're soft when Acuna gets plunked and there's no retribution. You know, we're soft when we're playing the Cavaliers. Mike Conte brought this up. We were talking off the air. When Dellavedova is doing the Tasmanian devil on everybody, and finally Al Horford's the guy that snaps. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're getting pushed around. I mean, sometimes you got to – some things you cannot quantify. Some things don't fit into sabermetrics or any kind of analytics. Sometimes it's just emotion, and sometimes teams feed off it. The Cardinals did. Cardinals put bat on ball, but if you didn't see the video, it's out there. Their skipper talking to the team in the clubhouse. I mean, they had a mean on for Acuna and a bunch of guys in this series, and they fed off some of that.
Yeah, I said this to Bo today, and I just want you to ponder it for a second. Who is the guy on our entire pitching staff, okay? The one crazy guy that you thought or at least think is Donaldson. He doesn't pitch. But outside of that, who has an edge?
Oh, he's working for Fox Sports South, Peter Moylan.
Who has an edge? Seriously. Doesn't mean they're the bad players.
Right.
The point is the great teams have a few of those dudes that have edge, okay? And you just see it. You just saw it with the Cardinals. You just saw it. Now, I don't even think they're a great team. I think they're peaking at the right time, just like the Nationals. But the fact is they had some dudes that took offense to some things. We don't. When do our guys ever get upset about anything? Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, generally, it's the first base or third base coach get more fired up than the players. But again, I do think that there is also a detachment from that old school mindset for a lot of players these days in the bigs. It's a shame, but the Cardinals got it. I don't know. I couldn't even point out the skipper for the Cardinals in a police lineup, the Schilt guy. You know, he overplayed his hand in some of the games, just as Snitker did. But at the end of the day, his guys were clutch, and the Braves' heart of the lineup wasn't.
When you're up 13-1, Mike, you just pitch and get out of the game, right? You just pitch and get out of the game. We know we're going to win. Just pitch. That was throwing salt in the wound yesterday.
Yeah, that's like, okay, Acuna, we don't like your antics, and here you go. Pow! You know, here's some chin music.
All right, man, let's take a few more calls. We're going to get to an NFL Blitz coming up. D in Cartersville. Hey, man, what's going on, D? What's got you go?
Hey, man. Well, I got to preface this call by just saying, first of all, I'm a sore loser. So, you know, you guys have spoken on it very succinctly, which is incredible considering Mike's takes on a lot of things. But anyway, you know, first of all, the Cardinals come into our house and they simply punked us. You got a manager. First of all, the manager is going off after they won. Like, oh, he's there. Like, they just punked us the whole time. I don't know about you guys, but somebody would have had to wear one several times during this series. It seems like the Braves, and again, I get the business approach and we want to be professionals, but somebody should have got punched in the eye. I'm just going to go ahead and call it. You know, Snicker likes to say, hey, you know, I'm like a dad to Acuna. I like to look out for him. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but my dad would have been over in the other dugout going after the manager.
You're right, D. I mean, that's a great analogy. And, again, we're not insinuating violence. We're talking about within the game itself. And then, to me, I said this months ago, this goes back to when he got hit and everybody said, oh, no retaliation. That's dumb. That's silly. You set a freaking tone for the rest of the league to say, hey, you do this, it's on.
Right. Otherwise, other teams are going to walk all over you. And if you missed it, guys, we'll clean up some of the audio. Craig's got it from the Cardinals in the Victorious Clubhouse where Schilt basically says, they started this blank and we finished this blank. And, you know, they go off. And, again, we're talking about Acuna. They've got their own guys, okay, if you're not familiar with it. Yadier Molina, by the way, he does the throat slit, you know, does the throat slash four. And we talked about already. I mean, it would all start with Carlos Martinez. Again, nice perm, nice highlights. He didn't like Acuna doing his thing, going all the way back to game one. But I just, to me, Carl, players like the Braves, they love a guy like Snitker because he doesn't wear them out. He's like just like Bobby Cox over 162 games. Just be cool. Everybody knows where their role is. And every once in a while, he's got to do what he did when Acuna was dogging it. For instance, Gabe Kapler just got fired by the Phillies because he wears people out. He wore those guys out this year.
He did. He was not necessarily liked by the players. It's still a players' clubhouse, and that's fine. I have no problem with the players liking him. But there has to be a standard set as to how you go about your business.
Ring that bell.
And by the way, Acuna killed these guys. Acuna, Swanson, and Albies had 20 of the 38 hits that we had in this series. Acuna had 4 of the 16 walks. He lived on base in this series.
Oh. I mean, Acuna, Albies, Dansby, Duvall. You must be the guys who did your job. Unfortunately, and by the way, isn't it funny now how everybody is kind of reevaluating their position on Donaldson? Boy, the Braves fans turned fast on that one. Now, all of a sudden, it's not such a no-brainer about bringing Donaldson back because he had a bad postseason.
It is for me. I mean, listen, he's solid. Obviously, Riley's quite not ready. We'll get plenty into that. Today, it's about how you feel. And for me, I know how I'm feeling. I know how you are, man. Let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Hey. Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
By the way, Acuna batted 444.
Oh, I know. You want to know what the middle of their lineup batted? Take a guess.
I'm going to say it's over 200.
Okay, and when I'm talking about the middle of their lineup, I'm talking about Goldschmidt and Ozuna. Know what they hit? 469.
That'll do it.
Our guy hit 200.
Right. Look, Freddie had a bad day at the ballpark. He had a bad week. September was bad for Donaldson and Freddie. We, unfortunately, guys, we tailed off. We just did. And the Cardinals had to take it to the wire to beat the Brewers, and they're the better team, and they're more clutch. And that's the way the cookie crumbles.
All right, let's talk some NFL. We'll get back to the Braves, trust me. Here on Dukes and Bell, our NFL Blitz brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. As we mentioned, our Falcons getting ready for the Cardinals. Now, you're going to hear Matt Ryan coming up on the show in the 4 o'clock hour. It is the Matt Ryan Report with Dave Archer right around 4:40 as Matt talks about this matchup and some other things, including Larry Fitzgerald. Stay tuned for that. But what else is going on around the league? And you are going, well, let's talk about this suspension for Vontaze Burfict. Mike, he tried to appeal this thing. They uphold it. It's upheld. I don't even know why he was trying to get back. It didn't make any sense with his track record. But he cannot return to the field until 2020. That became official. Everybody was like, well, he's going to appeal. He'll get back on the field. He does not win the appeal.
Well, after they initially came out with the suspension, they actually found more video. They actually found 2 more games where he was headhunting, where they missed it on the field. So, look, his rep speaks for itself. You know, there's just guys out there that they do dumb stuff, and you've seen it. I mean, the Bengals-Steelers game is one of the all-timers. I mean, that's one of those things which kind of really did sort of put a fine point on CTE and worried about guys and protecting players. So, yeah, I mean, he's barking up the wrong tree there despite all the things that Derek Carr and the Raiders said about how heartbroken he is. Got to make better decisions, man. You know, and teams keep trying on the guy because he does have skills. You know, he just makes bad decisions.
All right. In other news, Freddie Kitchens is talking about his Browns. Everybody's talking about that debacle that was, how they got beat down by the 49ers. Some people are saying now, Mike, this is what we talk about. They're starting to fall apart. Odell Beckham. Oh, he's selfish.
Odell Beckham is a team guy. All right. I just pointed him out last week about his blocking, you know, and his excellent hustle to the ball and around the ball. So, here's the key takeaway. Everybody here wants to win, and we really don't care how we do it. We just want to win.
That is their coach, Freddie Kitchens.
Yeah, I mean, I get a feeling this might be a 1 year as head coach
one
for
and done.
Freddie. Now, again, long way to go, just like we talked about with the Falcons, for those feeling being too hot on DQ. But they've got too much talent, and they've got to find somebody. And they thought that Kitchens, you know, is the quarterback whisperer for Baker. But I love that video, that meme we saw the other day. You know, beat a crappy opponent, you know, have a chip on your shoulder, talk some nonsense, get embarrassed. It's just a cycle with him. He's got to make better decisions. The ball's got to come out sooner. You cannot start running around, okay? Some guys can. Russell Wilson can. Baker, you can't, okay? So, and the guy we're going to see this week kind of tries that a little bit too.
Kyler Murray.
But, yeah, I'm not sold on this coach. It was the feel-good story, and they moved on from some other guys, the negativity with some of the other coaches, but I don't know if this guy's the man for the job.
Here is Baker Mayfield saying, people try to paint me a certain way, and I don't get it.
You know, I'm not worried about it. I know how I handle it, exactly what I did. It is what it is with you guys. People want to portray an image with me of who I am as a person. Care less.
Okay, look, the guy's had a chip on his shoulder because he felt he's been overlooked and fight and claw his way to Oklahoma, yada, yada. The Richard Sherman thing didn't help. Okay, people already perceived this guy as a creep. Richard Sherman did the most half-assed apology. You know, but that's one thing we know Baker didn't do. He actually did shake the man's hand. But the guys resent the endorsements around the league because they feel he hasn't earned it yet. So we'll see. Mahomes went and got those endorsements because he's the MVP. Baker stepped out and boom, out of one mediocre year of getting them to 7-9, and now all of a sudden he's getting all sorts of deals.
More on the Browns, man. This is only going to get better. I truly believe as the season goes on, there's going to be more dysfunction. I think it's only going to get better as the season goes on.
Hey, Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, said that he has no plans to trade Jalen Ramsey. Apparently, he had a heart-to-heart with the player. Obviously, he's been sitting out the last few games as he wants to be traded. I think he's going to be playing this week, said Shad Khan. It's something you have to balance, what's good for the team with the individual. So perhaps, you know, like Arthur, the magic touch. Shad Khan is a genius and made his money in what, truck car bumpers?
Yes.
And turned that into a $1 billion empire. So whatever he said to Jalen, he thinks he's going to suit up this week.
Yeah, every car has his part on it.
Right.
Anyways, that's interesting. But you know what? I'm curious to see where that goes because everybody was talking about maybe even us potentially making a move if this, Isaiah Oliver thing continues.
Well, I mean, Dan Quinn this week, and we'll talk about the injuries with the Falcons because there's still some people banged up as we go to today's practice out in Arizona where the Falcons are practicing over at Arizona State. Jalen Ramsey would be an unbelievable fit. I mean, you want to talk about a guy that then allowed Dan to do whatever he was, I guess whatever he was trying to do, Carl, with his defensive tweaks, to have a real true shutdown corner, that'd be money. But I can't imagine that he and Dimitrov would ever want to part with that first rounder and or second rounder, whatever they're looking for.
I want you to hear Mike Tomlin. The rumors are out there. He is going to the Redskins. But, guys, he's got a job. He's currently the head coach of the Steelers.
I'm not worried about that, to be quite honest with you. You were the first person to mention it to me in a public setting. So,
what was your reaction in a private setting?
About the same I'm giving you, you know. Guys, I'm the head coach of a 1-4 football team that's going on the road to play a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback with my third quarterback. You think I'm worried about anything this week other than that?
There you go, man.
All right. I hear you, coach. But I have won a lot of games here, and my resume speaks for itself. If you do want to hire me after the season, it is Dukes and Bell. Priority Men's Medical Center brings you NFL Blitz. Hey, man. Mike, one other thing I do want to mention. Pat Mahomes, the injury, because it's fantasy implications. And he says the ankle is still bothering him.
It's not perfect. I guess you say that, but it's good enough that I feel like I can still run, cut off of it, and do all that type of stuff.
Yeah, man, the dude was obviously hurt. He got stepped on by a Colt, and he got stepped on by one of his own linemen, and it was certainly a guy. He'll tape it up with a high. He'll wear some high ankle shoes, Carl. He'll try to look like Joe Namath out there. We trust the guy can make it happen. Real quick, just getting back to the Steelers and Tomlin, the quarterback he's referring to, Devlin Hodges. If you didn't see it, obviously their other quarterback got and then that looked ridiculous where they couldn't find the cart. The cart wouldn't work. You got Rudolph basically sitting there with a face mask unscrewed from his helmet, you know, looking like Marvin the Martian. Doesn't know what town he's in, and they got to try to walk him off the field. But with all the things going on, I'll just make the case real quick because Jim Florio did it in Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio, I should say. All the quarterbacks that are sitting on the sideline, I mean, whether you think the Kaepernick thing, we all know free speech isn't free, but you got a guy from Sanford, Devlin Hodges, starting for the Steelers this week. That's a bit ridiculous.
It tells you everything you need to know. Let's give you a chance to win $1,000 playing our National Signing Bonus contest.
Now it's time to reveal our National Signing Bonus code word. The code word is...
Quick! I'm quick with it. Quick is the word, 72881. Text it right now to 72881. From your cell phone, that is. You can text that word and win $1,000 playing our national signing bonus contest. You will have until 3:59 to get it in, guys. Message and data rates do apply. Do not text and drive. Quick, Mike, quickly, think of something.
Well, we need some booze right now to get over this loss. And hopefully the Falcons, we can turn our hopes to them. Quick goes to 72881.
All right, when we come back, we're going to analyze Snit. I know a lot of you are pointing the finger at Brian Snitker. I'm not. I'll explain. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We are chopping up, talking about this Braves loss, what it means. We will get back into the curse conversation, which it's not. We'd love to hear from you at 404-741-0929. I want to talk about Brian Snitker, Mike, for a little bit here, and then we're going to let you hear some audio that we actually had to bleep out from the Cardinals manager. This was part of his post-game speech that is out there, and it really gets back to what Mike and I were talking about with them hitting Acuna late in this game, and then just the demeanor about, you know, rubbing it in with being up 13-1. But was this series lost in game one or game four? And the reason why I ask that question is because if you're going to point the finger at Snit, and some of you have, you could arguably say in game one, why did he leave Keuchel in? Why does he pull Fried after such a short time? Why does he put Luke Jackson in? And then ultimately we end up losing the game. So for everybody who wants to focus on game five, let's just go back for a minute because this series actually was lost in either game one or game four, which we didn't get guys home on when we had runners in scoring position. But, Mike, that's the only game I can really criticize Snit when you talk about his moves in that particular game.
Yeah, or maybe he was going for the big inning when he had Acuna on third. You know, I mean, he had Acuna on second. You try to bunt him over. I mean, there were some things that you could have done there to maybe manufacture runs in game four. But to me, and I've been tweeting it all series long, the micromanagement of game one, you know, and not leaving Fried in. You use Green early. And then once the Chris Martin, again, he can never know the Chris Martin thing is going to happen. That blindsided everybody. Whoever he was going to bring in there would have as many warm-up pitches as he needed. He went with Luke Jackson, and it was a disaster. But I just thought that's on Snit. That's managing game one as if it's game five, which I thought was ridiculous. You know, and like managers, we said this all 2 weeks ago, guys. Managers do such screwy things. Look at Dave Roberts last night. He had blind faith in Kershaw, who's throwing 89-mile-an-hour fastballs up there. You know, and we know how that turned out. But, yeah, I'm with you, brother. The game one, and then, look, all the left on base, to your point, and parts of game three and four.
All right. And by the way, if you think, hey, this is management and blah, 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 let us know. I mean, this is where we're at. We're searching today. Yesterday was an aberration. That doesn't happen. It's never happened. So this series, if you talk about games one, two, three, and four, those games, all of them being winnable, but the mistakes that were made, and again, guys not showing up that we needed to show up, our stars simply didn't show up.
Right. I mean, we all know it. Freddie had a bad day. It also wasn't just at the plate. It became something on the field. And Donaldson did hit a home run, but it was too little too late. And Mark Akers got cold. We just peaked. We peaked when we clinched the division, and St. Louis had to battle to the wire, and they rolled on through. The other thing we've been on today, and this is something Carl and I talked about, and a lot of you guys, not everybody, but a lot of you guys are going, you know, you sound like a bunch of cavemen talking about hitting somebody. But when the Marlins punked Acuna, and now Acuna hits 444, and they're hitting him in the end of the, you know, last time they're going to see this guy, and Flaherty hits him, you've got to have some payback. Braves don't. Cardinals just roll on, basically laughing at us. And then you hear what their manager had to say, and it just shows you. It's more than just launch angle Carl and the analytics. Sometimes you play off emotion. Sometimes there's some swag that goes into this.
And sometimes you're trying to bully people. I mean, that's what baseball has always been about. All the great pitchers I ever covered talked about it. I'm coming in on you. I'm trying to get you off the plate. I may even hit you. It's just a part of the mental aspect of it. Mike, I want to read what Flaherty said in regards to hitting Acuna, and then we'll play the cut from the manager. This is a direct quote when asked about what happened. Quote, we've got two strikes on him, and we're trying to go in. Flaherty said this yesterday after the game. If we're going in, we're going in tight. It hit him, and he took exception to it. That's the guy he wants to be. That's how it is. He's been having all of his antics all series. So where's that coming from? Obviously, they're in the clubhouse and they're talking about it, and the manager is talking about it. That's just not coming out of the blue. And so then he says, this guy hits the ball over the wall, and he gets a single out of it. So he wants to take exception to it? He can do whatever he wants. He can talk all he wants. That's Flaherty saying that after the game yesterday.
Yeah, so for those who are wondering if it was a thing, the Cardinals fed more off it than the Braves did when he goes for a 325-foot single when he's admiring his own handiwork. Schilt, the manager, and again, I knew nothing about this Mike Schilt. He was a lifer in the Cardinals organization. He came up through a college game. Then he was a scout and a manager. Well, looks like a mild-mannered, salesman, doesn't he, with the glasses? Well, take a listen to the post-game in the clubhouse.
What I'm loving about this series is we played the game hard, we played the game right. We started, we finished. And that's how we roll. We don't start with no us ever. Ever. All right? Now, I don't give a we play. We're going to up. We're going to take it right to them. We're going to kick their.
Yeah. Let's go!
So, there you go.
if you need a little translation, obviously, the part that really, and this resonates because this is how you know this is a discussion in that clubhouse. Nobody blanks with us. And then he says, ever. He is alluding to what they consider to be antics by Acuna. That's what that was. Nobody blanks with us, ever. And then obviously pumps up the fact that they don't care who they play because they can beat anybody and this team goes nuts. That was the opponent, Mike.
Right, so their next victim will be Soto and Scherzer, right, based on how the Nats carry themselves and their angle and their swag. Look, we've talked about this a million times. This is why you got to protect your star player. You know, if the Marlins had broken his wrist or something had happened to him, some folks just don't get that side of it. The Cardinals punked us. They punked us. They basically pulled our pants down in front of everybody on national TV, and now they're laughing about it in the clubhouse. And if, as an organization, everything from the silliness of, oh, we better take the tomahawks away, one man who's part Cherokee's upset by it. You know, till how that game ended in the soundbite we just played. This is about as humiliating as you can ever be as a professional athlete.
Yeah.
If you're a Brave right now, I just hate for Brian McCann that this is the way he had to go out.
Well, listen, you brought this up, and you know, is it impossible to come back? And first of all, let's realize what we have. We got a really good young nucleus. First of all, they still have to build around it, but I actually trust Alex Anthopoulos because he showed us this year he could go out and get some pieces. You guys didn't know who the hell Echevarria was.
Well, those look the waiver wire.
Billy moves, Hamilton.
The waiver wire moves all pull really paid off. But
all
Carl,
of them.
But when you get back to Martin and Green, and let's be honest, Green was a disappointment. We thought Green was going to be a closer. We had to go with Melanson, who lost that job. We didn't spend money on the bullpen in January, in December, when we could have really gone to it. We did it at the trade deadline. I still think when you go back, I think Anthopoulos, you could do it all over again. You could have made some better decisions to beef up your pen before the season even started.
All right, I'll say this. We had a better bullpen than we had in these playoffs last year. The fact that those guys, and specifically the guys you pointed out, whether they lived up to it. Melanson got a save in this series. He came in, saved a game for you. He didn't really get another opportunity, to be honest with you, the way the series played out. But I would disagree in the sense that at the deadline, these were the best options.
Yeah, but don't you agree with me? But they didn't make that commitment to beef up the bullpen based on how the last season we're doing it with, like, let's be honest, with baling wire and scotch tape.
It was clowns.
That's why
I
just, again, Donaldson panned out. We didn't understand it at the time. $23 million well spent. But I just thought they could have done what they did at the trade deadline in the hot stove league.
Okay, so I would say this is my question, and I don't know the answer to it because we'll have to wait and see where the Braves are. If you're telling me there are no restraints, and allegedly there aren't, I mean, we just made three deals,
right?
Paid Donaldson. Allegedly, there are no restraints. If there are no restraints, then, Mike, that means in the winter, we need to go out and improve the bullpen because you're telling me you're willing to go pay for the better arms,
right,
instead of waiting. And I think part of the waiting was they wanted to see what they had. Once you saw what you had, Luke Jackson, it was a disaster, and you had no choice.
They gave Luke Jackson a whole month, and he didn't respond, you know. And then we've already talked about, look, and I get it. Darren O'Day, we were joking around. Ironically, Darren O'Day actually came to be a factor. He actually handled his business in the postseason once he finally got healthy. It's amazing.
All right, man, 404-741-0929. I want to grab Jeremy and Kennesaw. What's going on, Jeremy? What's happening? Do you think it's Snicker's fault?
Hey, man.
No, actually,
I don't. I don't put any blame on him. Actually, I put all our blame on our starting pitching because our bats didn't fail us. I mean, if you look at game four specifically, we had the bases loaded four times, and we had a leadoff triple from Acuna. Our bats were there.
But we didn't – hold on, we didn't knock anybody in with the bases loaded twice. That's not
the manager's fault.
Again, you could say the pitchers did some of the some good things and some bad things, but the 3-4-5 hitters, our beef is the 3-4-5 hitters were terrible. So I'm with you there. You can't blame Snicker on that.
No, you can't. I mean, he didn't pick up a bat. I get it. But, yeah, the whole thing of having men on, it's I don't care about that if you don't get him home.
But Acuña on third with nobody out. Acuña on second with nobody out. That's, I mean, you can't allow that to happen.
Well, but here's the other part of it. It's the top of the order. Your best hitter, Freddie, is getting opportunities.
Should you try to manufacture a run even though you're looking for the big inning with your 3-4-5? I mean, and Ozzie as well?
The only way I'm trying to manufacture a run is if I know Freddie's hurt.
Right.
And if he's not, then I'm telling him to swing away and do what he does. If he's hurt, Mike, then, yeah, that changes my approach. Appreciate it, Jeremy, man. We got more of your thoughts coming up, guys. 404-741-0929. The 2019 Pro Football Pick'em is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage and Quicken Loans. It gets the most. If you get the most of games right each week, you have a shot at $1,000. Score the best for the entire season, and you could win a trip to Miami for the big game and $5,000. Guys, get signed up today on the contest page at 929thegame.com. We are going to talk to Vince Dooley. Guys, we got to talk some dogs because they're getting ready for South Carolina. Our visit with Vince Dooley is next. We are brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com.
It's time for the Kroger Vince Dooley Report. Fresh food, low prices at Kroger. Now, here's the coach on Dukes and Bell.
You never take your opponent lightly, even when they are 2-3 and 1-2 in conference. South Carolina, as Mike likes to say, the Cocks are coming to take on the Dogs. And joining us right now is Vince Dooley. And, Coach, always brought to you by Kroger. You know, we're all feeling pretty good right now about the Dogs, but let's, before we get to South Carolina, let's talk about what you saw last week and what you liked.
I like the idea that we got hit upside the head early.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that it was early and that we had plenty of time to get things straight. It was a new offense, one used to it. The quarterback did a heck of a job. Their coaches did. And it got adjusted, and then our defense came on and played extremely well. So when you go up and play a team on the road that we're supposed to beat by 3 or 4 touchdowns, you're going to have those things happen. You got to be able to man up, which we did, and won the ball game going away.
And that's the thing, Coach. Nowadays, everybody's looking for style points with wins, and that blitz they dialed up at the right time and the scoop and score for 6. You're still concerned, though, that to get back to the first quarter. Worried about the secondary a little bit, things that other teams could exploit?
Well, I mean, you're going to always have that, but I think that the fact that it was a new quarterback and the fact that they saw some things and got them done, but you're able to correct them and yeah, you're going to have concerns all year long, that's for sure. But I feel comfortable. I feel good that it happened, and that indicates to the coaches that we need to do some things about it, and I think they will.
Coach, we're scoring about 43 a game right now. I mean, points per game for the Dogs. We're only giving up 10. And, you know, everybody says, all right, well, we were only challenged really against Notre Dame. Maybe some of the other teams, the lesser competition, wasn't really a challenge. But how good do you feel about this offense? Because I think sometimes we don't really get the full gist of how good this offense potentially can be because we haven't seen Jake Fromm, you know, really have to air it out.
Well, that's true. He's throwing for 78%.
Yeah.
And making big plays. Yeah, there's that concern. I do like the idea that Brian Heron, who to me would be my goal line running back or short yardage running back, because he knows how to get under his shoulders. Swift can catch the ball out of the backfield, could do a lot of great things along with White, but this Heron, who is a player that was signed late, I think is come on, it is a real guy that will get yardage when sometimes yardage isn't available to get. So I like that part. Our receivers have come on, Cager, Robinson, Pickett. We got good receivers. Yeah, we're pretty daggone good, but it is true. We have not played a Florida or an Auburn defense yet.
It is Coach Dooley, brought to you by Kroger. You're right. Harrigan's actually keeping Zamir White's touches a little bit down this year because he's been so good. And what do you make of South Carolina? I mean, not where they want to be. Certainly they've had their issues with injuries and the quarterback, but What do you think? I mean, it's always seemed like strange things happen when Georgia plays South Carolina.
Yeah, through the years. But it's another one of those coaching swaps that know each other so well. There's Brian McClendon, who is the offensive coordinator. And incidentally, I think Brian is still the only undefeated coach in the University of Georgia's history. He filled in, if you recall, in a bowl game, and they won. So he may never lose a ball game at Georgia as a head coach. Who knows? But Will Muschamp and Kirby, I mean, they've been close for years, both at Valdosta State and LSU, and they were together along with my son Derek with Saban at Miami. So it's always interesting when you get those kind of matchups and mixed emotions involved, and this is certainly another one.
It is our visit with the legendary Vince Dooley, guys, brought to you by Kroger as the Dogs get ready for South Carolina. I know it's hard, and I always ask you this because I'm curious. You know, I love to hear the stories, but how did you get your kids to not look ahead to that Florida matchup? Because, you know, the Dogs are looking at, like I said, South Carolina. They're going, all right, you know, 2-3. They're not looking too good. We should handle our business. And there's Florida, and they got a big game this weekend against LSU. But, you know, you can't look ahead, can you, Coach?
Well, it's human to look ahead, but it's also coaches know and some players know that you got to play them one at a time and you got to get ready and you got to think in terms, okay, this is if we're looking ahead, this ball game is important in preparation for looking ahead. So I think it's just up to the coaches to remind them. And because every once in a while, we'll get an example of we don't know what the heck's going to happen in any kind of sports. My gosh, what I think about last night, which I hate to think about, I was going to watch the game about the third inning because I was doing a book signing in Canton, Georgia, and by the third inning, the ball game was almost over. How could that happen? Well, it's one of the great things about sports, as long as it doesn't happen to you. But when it happens to you, it's a disaster. So it's always a possibility, and we need to avoid any disasters.
South Carolina, then Kentucky, guys, then the Florida matchup. It's November 2nd.
Coach, you were surprised by what Florida did to Auburn, or do you think that Florida's throwing some really good defensive looks out there and they got a shot against LSU?
Well, if they beat LSU, I'd be really worried about Florida. I mean, I'm worried now, but I'd be really worried because coming off of that win and then to be able to go and play a team like LSU, the toughest thing I ever to do as a coach was to have to play Florida and Auburn back-to-back. And when you are playing those kind of teams that are both good back-to-back, it is tough to be at the top of your game 2 weeks in a row. So they got a real assignment on their hand. And I don't think that that they will beat LSU, but if they do, man, we really need to worry about Florida.
Yeah. I agree. Coach, as always, thank you so much. Go Dogs. We'll see how they play this weekend, and this journey continues. Thanks for jumping on with us.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon.
That's Coach Dooley, brought to you by Kroger. And again, noon start. Hate those noon starts, but a noon start, South Carolina and Georgia. And then later in the afternoon, the CBS game for our buddy again. And one of the smoothest sounding guys in the world. Again, we'll have the Brad Nesser call with Texas A&M and Alabama. And Alabama, by the way, man, you really, let's be honest. Anybody see A&M beating them?
No.
Three losses already for Jimbo.
Nope. And they still got to play Georgia. They still got some other tough games on their schedule. It's
very Sumlin-like.
It is. It's turning out to be that. Mm. Hey, man, we're going to continue our conversation about the Braves. Real quick, I do want to mention, and it's kind of lost today, obviously, with what happened to us last night, but Phillies fired their manager, Gabe Kapler. And if you go back to last year, I think it was the first series of the season, and Gabe Kapler came in here, it was at SunTrust, and we were talking about how he was managing, and it was early in the year, and we were kind of like, boy, he's kind of weird and quirky. But the rumors out of Philly, and I don't start them, I just talk about them once they're out, is, you know, he had lost his locker room. He had lost his clubhouse. That guys were not on his side, and that he was a guy that basically, as Mike said, wore people out, was getting on guys' nerves. Maybe he wanted to be too much like a player. there is a definition between, you know, the manager and a player, and that there's a thin line, Mike, but he's done after two seasons.
Yeah, they brought Charlie Manuel back just to try to be like a guy that could be more relatable with the players in the summer, just to try to fix it. And again, Bryce Harper, that's what's so ironic. Nat's doing all this without Bryce Harper. Kapler's a guy, he loves some Kapler. I think he would also tick off the players, Carl. He would leave between innings to shave his arm.
Hey, man, coming up, we're going to talk more college football. Trevor Lawrence. What has happened to Trevor Lawrence? We'll get into that.
Is he enjoying being Trevor Lawrence?
Falcons watch party going on. Buffalo Wild Wings in Marietta this Sunday starting at 3. Falcon prizes on site with Falcon alum players and more. It's Dukes and
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.